Hello and welcome to the First Pres Mommy Podcast, the show for people on the go who like to stay in tune with the conversations at our church. When you consider Jesus, what is happening in your heart? Today, Dr. Rupert Lloyd uses Hebrews 3 verses 1 to 19 to help us consider, if Jesus is here, how will we respond? Let's hear today's message.
Thank you so much for the privilege of being able to be here this morning and bring the message. I want you all to know that I think the world of our Pastor Clint, don't you? Would you raise your hand if you think that's great? I think he's one. Nobody raised their hand, man. I was really sad. I've been getting to know him somewhat over the last few months, you know, at the Wednesday night dinners and over coffee and during the meeting where we had the covenant partners, prospective covenant partners, you know, where you get together and he talks to you in the office and everything, and it's really great. And it's been just super getting to know him and talk to him and everything. It's been great, but it's also been a little weird. I mean, I started noticing like this strange pattern type of thing happening and going on. You see, he went to Miami University. I went to Miami University. He went to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Boston. I went to Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary in Boston. He worked on staff with a parachurch ministry on a college campus. I worked on staff with a parachurch ministry on a college campus. I mean, that's kind of strange, don't you think? But it doesn't stop there. He married a school teacher. I married a school teacher. He has four children. I have four children. He has two boys and two girls. I have two boys and two girls. You know, after noticing all that, I had to come to terms with something, you know? It's starting to look like I was modeling my life around him, which is really complicated since I began about 15 years before he did, you know? I just wish that you'd have told me sooner what I was supposed to be doing, okay? All right. I will say this, and then I'll go on. Finally, nice to finally meet the man whose life I've been living. Now, I say all that teasingly, okay? But it does raise a real question. When you step back and you look at your life, who is really shaping it? Because all of us, whether we realize it or not, are following a pattern. We're being formed by something, by someone. And that's why Hebrews 3:1 says, consider Jesus. And let me tell you, recently those two words, consider Jesus, have become very real for my wife Amy and I. You see, last June, we came to a point where we needed to make a decision. We had decided that we were going to retire. And the decision was, where are we going to attend church now that we're retired? And in that moment, folks, seriously, it was very confusing. We had a lot of things to consider. I mean, you have to understand, we have never, ever attended a church that didn't pay us to come. So we went back to the guidance that served us so well in ministry. Consider Jesus. And that's how our passage begins this morning. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Not glance at him. Not assume that we already know everything there is to know about him. But stop and take a long, careful look, because everything in the Christian life, everything, flows from how clearly we see Him. And this morning, as we gather on a day that our church calls Consecration Sunday, when we pause as a church to prayerfully commit ourselves, our time, our gifts, our giving to God's work among us, as we do that, I want to suggest to you something very simple. Consecration begins not with what we give, but with who we see. Let me say it again. Consecration begins not with what we give, but with who we see. So this morning, we're going to walk through four movements from this passage. And before we do so, I need to say something to our Tuesday morning folks, okay? There is so much good material in this chapter, and I'm leaving a lot of it on the cutting edge floor. I just couldn't put it all in. I'm already 4 hours overtime in my sermon, so I'm embarrassed. But I know you'll understand, because we've already been blessed by it already. That's really cool. Folks, for the rest of you, if you haven't been to one of the Tuesday morning Bible studies, you're missing out on some great teaching, wonderful fellowship, and a lot of fun. Okay, then. There are four movements to this message. How many movements are there in this message?
Four.
Very good. See, they do. It's not. It's a good thing. Four movements from this passage, and here they are. Number one, look back, consider Jesus in what God has already done. Look up, consider Jesus in His faithfulness. Look inward, consider Jesus in the condition of your heart. And look forward, consider Jesus in your place and your place in His house. Now, for $15 and a chance to come back next week, what do all these movements have in common? Consider Jesus, exactly right. So that's where we're going to start this morning, all right? Because one of the clearest ways to consider Jesus is to pay attention to what He's already done. Look back, consider Jesus in what God has already done. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Hebrews 3:1. There are three things in this verse that I want to call your attention to. How many things are there? Thank you. The first thing I want to share is the word consider. The NIV, which I know is the Bible that most of you use, it's here in the church building. The NIV says, fix your thoughts. And that's not bad. It's only one word in the original Greek, but the NIV gets at what the author is trying to get across. Study Jesus carefully. Let your attention settle on Jesus and stay there. In the original language of the New Testament, this is not a suggestion. It is written in a form that means it's a command. Do you want to take God seriously? This is how you do it. Let your attention settle on Jesus and stay there. Consider Jesus. Why? Because as we see all over the Bible, and particularly in the last few weeks, as we've been going through the book of Hebrews, Jesus is supreme. From Him flows every truth we confess and every hope that sustains us. He is supreme. And when you consider Him, the author of Hebrews tells us to keep in mind two things about Him. How many things? Thank you. Two things. First, He is the apostle of our confession. And second, he is the high priest. Now, what do those terms mean? Well, the apostle means sent one. So the author here is saying that Jesus is the true representative from the Father. Jesus is the one sent from God to us, bringing God's truth, God's presence, and God's authority. And as for the high priest part, well, that means he stands for us before God, bringing us into God's grace. He is the one who stands in the gap, representing the people before God and helping them, you and me, stay connected to him. So when you consider Jesus, keep this in mind. He is the one sent from God to us and the one who stands between God and his people, representing us before him. Okay, so what? I mean, that's really theological. Would you agree with me that that's theological? So the way this works is when I'm preaching, you got to nod your head, yes, that makes sense, or no, it doesn't make sense, or I'm going to go over this again and again and again, okay? So he's the one sent from God to us, the one who stands between God and his people, representing us before him. Does that make sense? Good, 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 good. Okay, so here's why this matters. It's very theological, very biblical, but here's why it matters to you and to me now. Here it is. Listen up. If Jesus is who Hebrews says he is, the apostle and high priest, then he is not distant. He is present. He is active. He is at work among his people. And when you begin to pay attention to that, you see him. You see him. You start to recognize where he's been at work all along. And that brings me back to the first few months that Amy and I have been here with you all. When Amy and I first arrived, like any pastor would, I was trying to understand the church, trying to get a feel for who you all are, what matters to you, where might God be at work, what is it that God has already done here? And in those early days of church attendance, when you're a visitor, you notice things. You know, you visited other churches, you notice things. Not everything all at once, but glimpses here and there. I remember sitting with someone at the Wednesday night dinner, someone who was walking through a very difficult season. And as we talked, I realized this wasn't just someone enduring hardship. There was a quiet faith here, a steady trust. And I thought to myself, Jesus is here. I remember seeing people willing to sit down with strangers, somebody that they'd never ever met, and they made them feel welcome. They included them in sharing about their families and their joys and sometimes even their troubles. I remember that people were sincerely curious about who Amy and I are. How did we come to the church? What brought us here? And I thought, Jesus is here. I also saw folks step in to serve without being asked, without needing recognition, not just at the dinners, but at several church events. You know, it was a small thing, but do you remember when we changed out our hymn books? I saw people volunteer to move hymn books from the pews to the boxes in the foyer. Folks, I've been in ministry for 40 years, and I'm here to tell you, Jesus is here. This was a great thing. You know, the first Sunday that Amy and I came to worship was the last Sunday before the sanctuary reconstruction. Part of the organ was already missing. And there was talk of how short the renovation would be. Folks, when I retired from the church that I pastored, we had just finished a 19-year building program. 19 years. When we began to search for a new church, do you want to know what I told God? I told him, I will go anywhere you lead me, but I never want to attend a church in a building program again. And then we came here, and God said, welcome back. But you know, when Amy and I came to worship those first few Sundays, we heard the voices lifted in the seats around us. Maybe not perfectly, but definitely sincerely. An incredible choir. Would you agree? Incredible choir. Thank you, Mary. Outstanding musical arrangements. A willingness to adapt musical and worship preferences with two services. That's a great thing. An accomplished organist. A bell choir. All these things were and are good things. No question about it. But you know what? It was how the congregation responded in worship that was so impactful. And in that moment, it struck me again. Jesus is here. Those are the questions that Amy and I were asking. We were doing our best to consider Jesus and what he has already done in the church. But at some point, that leads to another question. Not just where has Jesus been at work, but can I trust him with what comes next? And that brings us to the second movement. Look up. Consider Jesus in his faithfulness. Hebrews says it simply, consider Jesus. Christ is faithful as the Son. That word faithful is where all of this becomes real. Because there comes a point in life when you have to make decisions, not just based on what makes sense, but based on whether or not you trust Him. And I'll tell you, that's exactly where we found ourselves when we were trying to decide whether to come here. It wasn't a simple decision. We were leaving behind some very close friends. Amy and I understood what Hebrews teaches about a heavenly calling, those who share in a heavenly calling, because we had been blessed to share a heavenly calling with some wonderful people. But now we're called to retire. We were called to trust Jesus with a transition to a new leadership, turning over the goals and the dreams and the plans that we had prayed for so many years to a new leadership of the church. This was a place that we loved and good people and close friends we cared for. The new leader was somebody that I had known for years and years in the church. It was a wonderful man. But you know what? Ultimately, it wasn't our church. It belongs to Jesus. We were called to retire and to go to someplace else. Now, at this stage in life, you don't make changes lightly. Can I have an amen? Thank you. A new commitment, a new church. As I said before, there were a lot of things to think about. What would be comfortable? What would be predictable? What would be manageable? What would make sense on paper, you know, thought about all of those things. But Hebrews kept pressing in on us. Consider Jesus, not the circumstances, not just the options. Consider Him. And of course, that shifts the question, doesn't it? For the question stops being, what is the safest choice? And now it becomes, do I trust the one who is leading me? Because if Jesus is faithful, then our commitment, our decision, is not ultimately about our control. It's about trust. It's about His plan for Amy and I as we share in heavenly calling. And I remember us praying through that, not in one big dramatic moment, but over time, listening, watching, paying attention, and gradually, quietly, Amy and I began to see this. God was already at work here. We saw Him through the stories and the testimonies given on Wednesday night. We saw Him in the church's commitment to Compassion International and the scores of lives that are being changed through that ministry. We saw Him in the life of a man who worked patiently through 18 years in order to be ordained to a new church that would serve people coming from a foster care background. Before we arrived, before we decided, God was already moving in this church. And then we realized something else. This was not about us stepping into something uncertain. This was about us stepping into something that Jesus was already leading. And folks, that's the difference His faithfulness makes. Because the question is no longer, can I figure this out? The question is, can I trust Him even when I don't have everything all figured out? That's where consecration, where commitment begins. Not with clarity about everything, but with confidence in someone. Hebrews doesn't say, consider your circumstances. It says, consider Jesus, the one who is faithful over God's house, the one who goes ahead of us, the one who is already at work, even before we see it clearly. And when you begin to consider that, you realize consecration and commitment are not about analyzing every possibility. They're about considering Jesus and responding to what you see. But that raises a deeper question, doesn't it? What kind of response is taking shape in your heart? Because it's one thing to see where Jesus is at work, and it's another thing to ask what's happening in your heart as you see it. And that brings us to the third movement. Look inward. Consider Jesus and the condition of your heart. And folks, here the tone shifts. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. That's a word for insiders, for people who are already a part of the house, people like you and me. It means the danger is not just walking away. The danger is becoming less responsive to Him. Not rebellious, just quieter toward God. More cautious, more guarded, more hesitant to step forward. Hebrews calls that a hardened heart. And it happens subtly. You get busy. You get tired. You get used to things. Amy and I have been retired now for almost a year, and it is fantastic. It is outstanding. If I had known it was going to be this good, I'd have done it 40 years ago, because this is wonderful. I love being retired. It's wonderful. We love visiting the children and the grandchildren, children and grandchildren, lots of grandchildren, in Winston-Salem and in Miami and in San Diego. And we take lots of trips. And this is a good thing. But at the same time, the danger for us is real. It's easy to get caught up in the trips and the relationships and the opportunities. You start to think, this is the life. And in many ways it is. It's a great life. But it's also possible even in good things, to drift, to just slowly drift, to become more focused on enjoying life than on listening to God, more attentive to what we want to do rather than what He might be calling us to do. And as I said, it doesn't happen all at once. It happens quietly, gradually, which is why we have to pay attention and guard our hearts. Otherwise, before you know it, the voice of God doesn't move you quite the way it once did. And so the writer says, today, not someday, not when things settle down, not when you get everything figured out, today. So allow me to ask you, as gently as I can, when you consider Jesus, what is happening in your heart? Is there gratitude? Is there trust? Is there a sense of invitation? Or has something begun to close off? Because consecration is not first about what leaves your hand. It's about what's happening in your heart. And when the heart is engaged, it doesn't stay still. It begins to move. It begins to step forward into what God is doing. That's what happens when the heart is engaged. And that brings us to the fourth movement. Look forward. Consider Jesus and your place in His house. And now we come to this. We are His house. Not the building, not the structure. We are His house, which means that Jesus is not just present in some abstract way. He is present through His people, through you, through me. You know, Jesus Himself says in the Gospel of Matthew, when you care for the hungry, when you welcome the stranger, when you come along someone in need, you're doing it to Him. Which means when those things happen, it's not just people being kind, it's Jesus present through His people. So when this church supports children with Compassion International, when families are fed, when children are cared for, when hope shows up in places where it's missing, that's not just generosity. That's Jesus. And when someone feels like they don't belong, and you notice them, and you welcome them, and you make space for them, that's not just friendliness. That's Jesus present through His people. And as I look ahead, as I think about where God is leading this church, I come back to those same words that I sensed early on in our first few months that we were here. Jesus is here. Not because everything is perfect, not because every question is answered, but because He is present in His people. And here's the thing, folks. Listen up. When Jesus is present, He always invites a response. Not pressure, not obligation, but participation. Participation in His life, participation in His work, participation in what He is doing among us. And of course, that takes all kinds of different forms. It takes the form of our time, of our gifts and our presence, and yes, even our giving. You know, if we really consider Jesus, and do we have any finance people here? Oh, I am so sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm going to say something that, oh, I'm going to get in such trouble. I'm sorry, but I got to say it. If we really consider Jesus, when you begin to see something clearly, here it comes. The church doesn't need your money, okay? I'll never be asked back to speak on Consecration Sunday. I'll tell you that for sure. The fact is, the church doesn't need your money. God's got that covered. That's real. That's the way it is. But I'll tell you what. We need what happens in us when we give. That's what is going on here. Because giving is one of the ways that Jesus shapes his people. It's how he forms generosity in us. It's how he teaches us to trust. It's how he makes us more like himself. That's what giving does. And so that leads us to the real question of the morning. It's not a budget question. It's not a program question. It's a discipleship question. And what is that question? If Jesus is here, if he's present in the house, if he is at work among us, how will you respond? And not out of duty, not out of expectation, but what will be your personal response to his grace? Now, for some, that might mean taking a step of generosity you've been holding back. We saw the step diagram last Sunday. First time I'd ever seen that. I thought that was really a great, wonderful tool to challenge your own giving and trust in the Lord. I liked it. I thought it was very good. So for some of you, it might mean taking a step of generosity that you've been holding back. For others of you, it might be re-engaging in the life of the church. Maybe you know the Lord wants you to engage in a particular ministry, but you've been shy about stepping forward. Maybe re-engaging in the life of the ministry, in the life of the church. Maybe that's what consecration means. Maybe that's your personal response. Or maybe your personal response to his grace is to offer your gifts in a new way. For some, it means recognizing that your season has changed. You may not have the same energy you once did. Is anybody else in that category? You don't have the same energy you once... Amen. Can we have an amen on that, you know? Amen on no energy. You heard that category? But you have wisdom. You have experience. You have a story. And offering your gifts in a new way might mean investing in someone else, sharing what God has taught you over the years. For some, their personal response to God's grace might be trusting him with something you've kept tightly held for a long time. Might be your time, might be your plans, might be your sense of control over what comes next. And as you consider Jesus, you begin to sense him asking you to loosen your grip a little bit. To say, Lord, this belongs to you. Not because you're forced to, but because you trust the one who's asking. And then, for some, their personal response to God's grace might be something quieter and even more profound. Lord, I see you this morning. And just between you and me, I want to follow you. Please show me what to do next. And this Commitment Sunday, this Consecration Sunday, is the perfect time to tell him that. Because in the end, this is not about what we give. This is about who we are becoming. So let me bring you back to where we started. Consider Jesus. Consider him in what you have seen. Consider him in his faithfulness. Consider him in your own heart. Consider him in what he is building here. And as you do, you may discover what Amy and I discovered. Not just that this is a good church. Not just that there are good people here, but something deeper than that. Something that changes everything. Jesus is here. And if that's true, how will you respond? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed here. We thank you for your calling, that you are not distant, that you are present and active among your people. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to partner with you in this world to bring the good news to those who so desperately need to hear it. We ask now that your Spirit would speak to our hearts and to our minds about how we should do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed our First Pres Mommy podcast. Learn more about our church at our website, firstpresmommy.org. Have a great week.